here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls. We have with us on the line from Great Britain, from England, Mr. Edward Spalton, and we're going to be talking about the move to create the European Union, to take England into the European Union. With this will come the loss of English sovereignty. With this will come the loss of the freedom that the English people have had. And what you're seeing in England and in Europe today is simply foreshadowing of what's planned here for the United States as we join with the rest of the Western Hemisphere and we raise the living standards of the average American to that of the Bolivian peasant. And people say that could never happen here, and I would say, why not? It's happening in Europe, and the European people don't want it, and the people of England don't want it, but it really doesn't matter, because it's all being done perfectly legally through the electoral process. Mr. Spalton, thank you so very much for being with us. Mr. Spalton, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for being with us. Well, we're simply giving the background of what's happening. Why don't you describe to our listeners what is taking place in Great Britain today and how they're getting this thing through, and yet there is so much opposition to it, but does it really matter what the British people feel or want?
Well, just let me tell you who I am. I'm 61, and I spent most of my life in the animal feed business, but for the last 14 years I've been studying this European project, and what the people think has very little to do with what happens. We joined this organization as a country in 1973.
Now you're talking about the British common market, of course.
Yes, we joined the European Union in 1973. The then Prime Minister, Mr. Edward Heath, assured us that no essential loss of sovereignty was involved. And we were told that it was mostly a common market.
Now was he being honest with you, or was he intentionally deceiving the people because they didn't feel that they were worthy to know?
Well, he was lying his head off, put it bluntly.
All right, fine. Well, I think that don't beat around the bush. Say it. The politicians lie, and the last thing they want is for the people to know the truth of what was going to happen in Europe, and that's the same thing as happening here.
Yes. Well, I've got in front of me at the moment some notes about a radio program that was broadcast about 4 years ago on what happened in the early 70s. And there was an organization called the European Movement, and it was funded very heavily by the CIA. And if anybody wants to check up on that, there's a Dr. Richard Aldrich on this program, a political historian, said he was absolutely astonished to discover that the library of Georgetown University in Washington had the entire archive of a CIA front organization, which documents from start to finish funneling millions of dollars into Europe, into Britain, with correspondence, for instance, from British Labour members of Parliament.
What was the name of the front organization, do you recall?
It was called the European Movement.
European Movement.
Yes.
Well, I think that what most Americans don't understand is the driving force to bring about this one world government has always come from the United States, and we finance this movement throughout the world, and I believe, of course, we've either replaced or eliminated the rulers who didn't want to go along with this.
Yes, I think the power of international corporations in particular and the people who profit from them is extremely great. My own research is, because I was in the animal feed business, I was concerned with the European agricultural policy, which was came into force immediately we joined.
Hold that just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our guest this afternoon is Mr. Edward Spalton from England. He's been in the animal feed business for many years, but he is part of a group of people over in England today who are working against the European Union. And he was just saying that he has before him a paper, which, of course, goes into a group that was very involved in bringing about this whole idea of Europe. It was called the European Movement. It was actually a CIA front organization where they were pouring millions of dollars into England and into Europe, pushing this whole idea of uniting the European continent into this one government, one great government, and spending our money, says the papers at Georgetown University. Are those papers available, Mr. Spalton?
Dr. Aldridge, the researcher who was on this program, the historian, said he was astonished to find that the documentary evidence was freely available.
And people have to go to Georgetown, or is it up on the Internet?
I assume they have to go to Georgetown.
All right, fine. Well, we can certainly find out about that. That's the European Movement back there. And, of course, is it still being active? Are we still funneling the money in, or have we just so close to actually...
I don't know about that, but the European Movement is still very active.
All right.
Because for many years we were told that this organization was a common market, a trading arrangement, something after the order of NAFTA.
But, of course, NAFTA was always intended to bring about consolidation of the Western Hemisphere and a uniform government for the Western Hemisphere. But, of course, the American people don't realize that any more than, well, until recently, the people of England realized this was all about replacing your form of government with a government over which you'd have no control, almost like an authoritarian system beginning in Brussels. But England would have little or no control, and the average individual would lose all form of representative government. Isn't that what you're really concerned about?
Well, that's absolutely right. Argument by the people who are in favor of this is, but we have influence in Europe. Instead of having power over our own government, we exchange it for an undefined influence over a government where we don't elect the people. Most of the more important people are not elected at all. We can't get rid of them.
And, of course, what this is a massive bureaucracy, a totalitarian bureaucracy, just like they had in the Soviet Union. We had Mr. Borkovsky the other day, who actually was a Russian, who lived under this tyrannical system. He sees the same thing happen to Europe. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, our guest this afternoon is Mr. Edward Spalton, who is with us from Great Britain today. We're talking about, of course, the move towards the European Common Market. And those of you who are listening earlier in the week, when we had Mr. Vladimir Bukovsky, I believe his name was. But anyway, he was talking about how, having lived in Russia, he could see the same thing happen in England. And, of course, what you do is you have these bureaucrats who control this whole system. Oh, you can have your representative government, but they don't care what your elected representatives say any more than the bureaucracy really cares what our elected representatives say in Washington, D.C. They have their own agenda, and anybody who gets in their way, well, of course, they may have some very difficult problems, like, they might even be a president of the United States who didn't want to go along with the agenda and why he sent on a trip to Dallas. Could this sort of thing go on in the world? Well, we know that the CIA has had assassins who have killed world leaders. We know what they did to Patrice Lumumba. We know what they did to Trujillo and the Dominican Republic. We know what they did to Mr. Nu and Mr. Diem in Vietnam. This was all brought in congressional committees. The CIA says, we're shucked, we're sorry, we're not going to do that anymore. Now they hire the mafia or other people to do this, and it's amazing how many world leaders just happen to meet accidents in airplanes or elsewhere. So, but pick up the story, Mr. Spalton. What are the English people doing? Are they concerned about what's happening? Does the average Englishman realize that something is seriously wrong?
Well, until very recently, it was difficult to get a hearing, but in the recent elections to the European Parliament, the United Kingdom Independence Party won 12 seats. And in my area of the country, they became first equal with the Conservatives. Now, it may sound rather odd that they're standing for election to the European Parliament, but small parties here have little chance in our parliamentary elections because they're on the first-past-the-post system, whereas in the European Parliament it's a system of proportional representation. So they have got a very effective platform now. And in fact, because we had a television celebrity who was one of the candidates in this area, the Independence Party was first equal with the Conservative Party in the number of votes cast.
And now, of course, so in England you have your Liberal Party, which is really a socialist party, but they call themselves the Liberals. You have your Conservative, and now you have this new party that you're part of. What percentage of the overall vote did you get in the last election as a new third party, really a relatively?
Well, in the European elections this time, I think they ended up average across the country about 16% of the vote.
That is amazing. Now, how are you getting the word out? Because you're certainly not going to get much of a fair shake from the local, from the television.
No, well, I think it's just that the message has started to get through. I should say I'm not a member of the UK Independence Party. I was, but for other reasons I decided to campaign on a non-party basis because it took collaboration between the big parties to get us into this mess, and I think it's going to take collaboration between the parties to get us out of it.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly agree with that, but I think it's exciting to realize that in England, this is happening. Now, we're not going to hear about this, because here in America, where you're told, oh, well, you don't want to throw your vote away on a third party, you've got to vote for Tweedledum or Tweedledee or Amos or Andy or Laurel or Hardy, and it doesn't make a bit of difference, because both the Democrat leadership and the Republican leadership, both John Kerry and George Bush, are dedicated globalists. They're dedicated to the World Trade Organization. They're dedicated to the CAFTA, and the Free Trade Zone of the Americas, which is the first step towards happening here in the Western Hemisphere, what, of course, is happening in Europe today. So now, how are you getting the word out to people across Britain?
We're fortunate that some of the newspapers have been taking up factual stories about Europe and about what the European Union is doing. One of the reasons why it has come to the fore just now is that they have published a European Constitution. Now, I have a printed copy of it with me now, and it's 325 sheets of paper.
Well, they make it so it's complicated that nobody can really understand what it's all about.
Unlike the American Constitution, this one is designed to empower the state and not to empower the people over the state.
Well, of course, at one time, this is the Constitution, the secret of our freedom, the reason everybody in the world wanted to emulate the United States. Unfortunately, this is not taught in schools, and as a result, why the people in Washington, D.C. freely violate their oath to uphold our Constitution, to limit the power of federal government, and nobody speaks out about it. In fact, most Americans honestly believe we're a democracy, and whatever our elected officials want to do, they can. They believe the Supreme Court is the law of the land, and of course, none of this has anything to do with our Constitution. It's more like the Soviet Constitution, and it sounds like this is the way Europe is heading as well.
Well, I think you've hit that about right, because our parties here are very much the same. They are just trying to say, elect us, but all they can be is agents for the European authorities. Over half the laws now come from the European Union. They come in two forms. They come in the forms of directives, and these are decisions by the European authorities where it has to be transposed into our national law by an act of Parliament. So the Parliament meets and has a debate, and people get very excited that they've got to vote the thing through, and everybody knows it, but it's just a piece of theatre.
And, of course, there in your parliamentary system, why, if you are a member, say, of the Conservative Party and they're pushing something, you are required, aren't you, literally, to vote the way you're told to vote rather than your conscience?
Well, they have the whipping system, which means that if you don't do that, then they withdraw the whip and you are will be sort of expelled or suspended from the party, and of course it means there's a black mark against you for your future career. Very powerful thing.
Now, sort of, this is increasingly happening here in the United States. For our listeners, if you don't know it, you really do not have a representative in Washington, D.C. You have a representative who is controlled by the party. And whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, there are a few of them who are willing to stand up and say, I'm not going to go along with it. But most of them are more dedicated to staying in Washington, D.C. than they are to doing what's right. So they'll compromise. They'll give their vote away when pressure is brought to bear. And,
yes,
of course, betray the American people. And I'm sure the same thing happens in England, doesn't it?
Well, the last time that this really happened here was in the vote on the Maastricht Treaty, which introduced the European currency and also changed the what was previously called the European Economic Community into the present European Union. And out of the whole of the Conservative Party in Parliament, which I suppose must then have been about 350 members in the House of Commons, seven would voted against the party, voted their conscience.
All right, now what about the European monetary system? Has England gone into this one currency yet, or you're still trying to hold out?
No, we are committed more than people think, but we have kept the pound sterling. But the Maastricht Treaty, to which I just referred, has several stages in it. And the third stage, which is what we have an opt-out on, is when you lock your exchange rate against against the euro currency, and then eventually you change your pound sterling for euros.
But this is really the whole idea. Don't you see down the line they want a common currency for all of Europe? Isn't this really what it's about?
Oh, yes. No doubt about it. And they want it for political reasons, not because it makes economic sense.
And, of course, if you control the money, you control the populace. I mean, that's very, very simple. Well, and they understand that.
Well, I think it was the first Mr. Rothschild who established his office over here said, give me control of the currency and I don't care who is in the government.
And I think that is what people must understand is that there is a move for a common currency, not only in Europe, but increasing. You're going to hear about this here in the United States. Well, we have to have a common currency, you know. We've got to stabilize the currencies of all these countries. This is going to be good for America. Look at all the markets we're going to get. Look at all the... Did you hear that sort of thing when they were trying to bring you into this system?
Absolutely. And we even look what's happened now, because Germany is in considerable trouble economically. And it's a little bit ironic, because Germany was one of the prime movers for this currency. And they fixed the rules for it. And they have high unemployment, hardly any economic growth, because the interest rate for the currency has to be set to suit the average across Europe. And some countries really need a lower interest rate, and some countries really need a higher interest rate. But there's nothing at all they can do about it. It's set by the European Central Bank, bankers whom nobody elects. And it's even unlawful for any government to go to the bank and say and try to influence them.
Well, of course, the thing that really concerns me as far as Europe is concerned is now you're taking all these countries in Eastern Europe where the people are making maybe $50 a month, and they're going to be, of course, brought into this whole economic system, and rather than raise them up, my fear is you're going to begin taking away the high living standards they have in Western Europe and equalizing it and bringing the standards of the Germans and French up to that of the Ukrainian peasant or the Estonian peasant.
This was one of the things that happened to us in Britain when we first joined, because I noticed this because I was in the animal feed and the grain business and so on. And when we first joined the policy, all the prices doubled or tripled because it was all a protected market, whereas we previously had free trade in Britain. And it meant that our housewives were subsidizing farmers in Ireland, France, Germany, particularly in France, because there's one rule in the European Union seems to be that the French hardly ever pay anything. They always collect a lot.
Oh, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Mr. Edward Spalding from England. upset, genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dubin, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that miracle isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Mr. Edward Spalton, who is certainly working with the people over in Great Britain, trying to do something as the jaws of the trap are being sprung, and the freedom and sovereignty of the British people is being undermined. And, of course, Mr. Spalton was saying just before we went to the break how, of course, they were told that this is going to be wonderful, everything's going to be great, you know, we're going to join the European Union, and, of course, the prices then for everything doubled. Or even increased higher? What really happened at that time?
Well, we came out of a system of where we had free trade in foodstuffs, where we could buy from America or from our friends and relations in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and we had to buy from Europe, and that was within a very high tariff barrier. And all sorts of other official intrusions occurred into business. In our business, we were making feed for baby calves and buying milk powder, and as I say, the price doubled or trebled. But then when we made it into animal feed, we could claim so much back again. But we had to have officials in the mill to see it and fill a lot of paperwork in and all that sort of thing. It was a very odd system, and this was what really started me thinking about what it was all about, because the agricultural policy was the biggest project of the European economic community at that stage. And I studied it and looked at it, and I eventually found where it came from. And the policy was identical to that which the Nazis used for their agriculture. And then I discovered that, in fact, they had coined the phrase European Economic Community. And I got a book which was published in Berlin in 1942, and I know German fairly well, and I was able to translate some of it. And there was something very like what we've got today.
Well, now, of course, this is a little off the subject, but you had, of course, a problem over there. You had the so-called mad cow disease, and then you had hoof and mouth disease, and you could have certainly taken care of the hoof and mouth disease by simply vaccinating the cows. Oh, no, they couldn't do that. They had to slaughter millions of cows. What was that really all about? Was it really about the threat of hoof and mouth disease and mad cow disease, or was there a political agenda, do you think?
Well, there was certainly a political agenda, because what had happened, if I can take the mad cow disease case first, the European Union decided to ban any exports of our beef because they, of supposed health risk, but with certain older animals taken out of circulation, it was allowed to be sold here. And a friend of mine contacted one of the people who had been making the biggest fuss about animal hygiene and said, well, you know, if this stuff is not fit to be sold to people in Europe, why is it safe for my family? And, if you're going to ban exports of British beef, you ought to ban the sales here. But if we couldn't do that, it would make the European Union too unpopular.
Now, what about the hoof and mouth disease? I had a feeling that they really wanted to kill those cows for a entirely different purpose. All you had to do, you could have vaccinated them and stopped the epidemic, so why did they slaughter them all?
Well, Britain, for many years, when it controlled its own policy on these things, didn't favor vaccination. And we had a previous outbreak, which I remember very well, back in the 1960s, and that was brought under control rather more quickly. One of the reasons it couldn't be brought under control so quickly this time was that our officials all had to wait to be told, to be told what to do from Brussels. We had ministers and the Prime Minister looking decisive, and they brought soldiers in to slaughter the cattle and that sort of thing. But they all had to wait until Brussels told them what they must do.
But did Brussels order this rather than do what was logical?
No, I think to be fair, the continent has always used vaccination more than we used it here, it was a little bit of a double bind, that the sort of thing that happens quite often here. That we add our regulations to Brussels regulations, and we get at something that's far worse than the sum of the two.
Who paid for all the cows that were slaughtered?
Well, I think the answer really is we did. That is, the taxpayer did. They'll say, oh, we got so much from the European Union, but this is really only a little bit of our own money back, because we pay far more than we put in, unlike the French, who hardly ever pay any more than they put in.
All right, we're going to be back in just a few minutes right after this break. And then, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America, or indeed from all across the world, because we know we have listeners in many other countries. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Edward Spalton, and he's from Great Britain. We're talking about the European Union, and of course, if we see what's happening in Europe, why, we can anticipate exactly the same thing that is happening here in America. Now, certainly in Germany, which is a highly socialized society, and the people work 35 hours a week, and they get all sorts of benefits, except they got about over a 10% unemployment, and now the government's coming out and saying, well, you're going to have to work 40 hours a week, and they're negotiating new contracts. They're not getting any more money. They're going to have to work 40 hours a week, and they're talking about cutting back on their pensions and cutting back on all of these things. They're going to need all that money to bring up the living standards of the people in Eastern Europe, because this is, you're bringing in people who are making $50 a month, and we've got to get their living standards up. And the only way to do that, in my estimation, is to lower the living standards of everybody else in the common market. Are people concerned about that, Mr. Spalton?
Well, yes, they are, and of course, it's quite obvious that if we now have the European Union's expanded to 25 countries, and most of them are less well off than we are, and that they are hoping, they think that by joining, they're going to become as well off as the rest of us.
But of course, there really is a program to redistribute the wealth within nations and between nations. That's a part. Plaque 10 of the Earth Charter, which is really the Mein Kampf, written by the people who've really run the world. And as we begin talking about redistributing wealth between nations, do you think England's going to be better off or worse off as you begin creating equality, true equality, in this new entity, this new European Union you're creating?
Well, over the last 20, 25 years, we have come up from being the lame duck of the European economies to being amongst the most productive. But the whole method which the European Union uses, they have something called the Cohesion Fund, which distributes money not actually between countries as between national governments, but it distributes from the centre, from the European authorities, to regions within the countries concerned, and this helps to break up the countries so that instead of having, we were, it was the United Kingdom with a single parliament, and now we have parliaments in Scotland and an assembly in Wales, and there's a plan to break up England into nine regions, and these regions will deal directly with the European Union, and this will help to break up the nation states. I live in an area which has been called the East Midlands. It's not anything that anybody has any natural loyalty to, but the idea is that eventually we shall all be regard ourselves as happy East Midlanders and European and not English or British at all.
And of course most Englishmen really don't want to lose their sovereignty, do they?
I think not. We have been subject to 40 years of propaganda telling us that we can't possibly survive on our own. And the big lie is, of course, that we need to be in this European Union in order to trade with it. In fact, they sell so much more to us than we do to them that we could have a free trade agreement with no bother at all.
And of course, this is the real thing. It is all a matter of controlling the reality of the people of Great Britain. Now, of course, here in the United States, we have alternative radio. We have a lot of privately owned radio stations. We have shortwave. We have the internet. And we have a means of communicating with people. Do you have this over in England? Is it being utilized? Because my impression, at least as far as the radio is concerned, is you don't have a lot of major talk radio, do you?
It's the mainstream station, particularly the British Broadcasting Corporation, which is funded by a license fee which everybody who owns a television must pay, has been switched on to European propaganda for many years. In fact, that was one of the things which was done in the early 70s, and although it's supposed to be impartial and has supposedly, we are always told, a very high reputation. In fact, we know from checking programs that it's very, very biased. There are commercial radio stations and local radio stations. There are none which have this our particular agenda. The internet's very active. Could I give your listeners an email address which they might find interesting?
You certainly could. Please do. And
yes.
Now, is it an email or is it a website?
This is a website.
Right, okay.
And it's www.freenations, all one word, .freeuk.com.
That's www.freenations.freeuk.com. Now, who
yes.
puts that up?
Well, this is mostly put up by a colleague of mine who's an author, a chap called Rodney Atkinson. In fact, he labours under a bit of a handicap for a serious man. His brother's Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean.
I see. Really? But, he's one of my favourite actors. You know, he's magnificent.
Yes. Rodney has been all over Europe. I do some of the German translations for it, and there are contributions from ambassadors and eminent people from nearly all the different European countries.
But of course, you know, we can see what's happening. They want a European army. They want, of course, and once you have a European army, you know, you're going to have a European peace force, you're going to have a European courts, and of course the people of England are going to lose all of their sovereignty and all their rights as natural-born Englishmen.
Habeas corpus has already gone in certain areas.
Well, of course, we're losing it here in the name of fighting those wicked terrorists, and of course, so because we're fighting the wicked terrorists, we've got to take habeas corpus away from American citizens.
Yes, well, here they've now got a thing called a European arrest warrant, which means that I can be arrested here for something done or allegedly done in another European, in another country of the European Union, which isn't a criminal offence here. And the only thing the courts are allowed to take into account is, firstly, am I the person named in the warrant? And secondly, has the warrant been issued by a competent authority?
And, of course, then the next thing is we'll have an international criminal court, and, of course, the international court will be able to do the same thing. In fact, amazingly enough, the major force behind the International Criminal Court was the United States, and yet I think the only reason that anybody went into this authoritarian system, unjudicial judicial system, was because America opposed it. And then, just recently, after consistently opposing it, the President of the United States said, "Oh shucks, we're just going to go into this, and now our prisoners can come under the control of the International Criminal Court." And all these countries throughout the world that went into it are tricked into this, really, because they really wanted to show the United States. And now the United States, which has been the major driving force, in my estimation, behind this.
I didn't realize that you'd... your government had done that.
Oh, yes, it was because of for some crazy reason, which I initially didn't make any sense, why the Defense Department released the pictures of the torture of the Iraqi prisoners at Abu Ghraib, and I said to myself, why would they have done something like that? They had those pictures, they were classified, they could not have been shown, on American television, especially with... and then suddenly, it all became very obvious. They put those pictures out. Now they had a justification for America going into that. So it's sort of one step at a time, isn't it, away from freedom towards ever more distant control over our lives and our destinies, and take away the habeas corpus. They can lock you up indefinitely and never take you to court.
Yes.
Are the British people concerned about this?
Well, those that realize it are, and we're making a fuss to try to make the others understand what's happening. You see, the difference is that apart from ourselves, Ireland, and I think Malta, we are the only European country with the common law system. In all the other European states, it is basically Roman law, and there's wide differences in practice, but it does mean that you can be locked up on suspicion without any charge, in some cases for years.
Right, and that's exactly what the authoritarianists want, both in your country and in ours. Now, let's go to Byron, who's calling us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Byron. Thank you for calling. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I would like to know, to his knowledge, has anyone recently in Europe or Great Britain used the term New World Order?
Yes, I am familiar with it. Mostly looking at the European end of things, and obviously it is a part of a bigger movement to eventually bring in a system of world governance, as they like to call it, which obviously means the most abominable dictatorship, because if you've got one government for the whole world, there's no possibility of any freedom outside it. Certainly, I know the phrase, and the New Order is a term which was used a lot, certainly by the fascists in the 30s and 40s, and latterly we talk about the New European Order and that sort of thing.
In fact, if you see that wonderful movie, The Sound of Music, and Captain Van Trapp is putting on this party, and the German leader comes up, the Nazi leader, and says, of course, Captain, you will support the New Order. That's what it was all about, and it is exactly the same thing. That's why, of course, in the headquarters of the Skull and Bone Society, both of our presidential candidates come from, all sorts of swastikas every place, signifying the move towards the new order. Anything else, Byron?
Oh, no, thank you.
Thanks very much. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead, please, Edward. Edward, you're going to say something, and I sort of interrupted you.
Yes. I think I mentioned that I found that this particular policy, the agricultural policy, was very much derived from, almost exactly from the policy which the Nazis brought in to ensure their own And then all sorts of other things started falling into place. And it's quite remarkable if you look back to the 50s when this whole project was being pushed forward by the CIA amongst others, you find that a lot of the personalities who were the founding fathers of the European Union, who we're supposed to hold in reverence now, had in fact fascist and Nazi antecedents. Alcide De Gasperi, who was the Italian president and prime minister after the war, with assistance from the CIA, deliberately closed down many investigations on atrocities and that sort of thing in Italy to try and calm the temperature down so that this project could get underway. In Belgium, there was a chap called Paul-Henri Spaak, who was the leader of the Belgian Labour Party, the Socialist Party. He had been in the pre-war Belgian government, and at the time when Hitler was threatening the Czechoslovakia, he said, and I'm quoting directly here, "Some people wish to lead us into a policy of solidarity with the democracies against the fascist states. I refuse to stick to such a policy." And his colleague, who was a very close colleague, Henri de Man, who stayed in Belgium during the war, issued a manifesto after Belgium had been invaded, saying, "Do not believe that it is necessary to resist the occupier, accept the fact of his victory, and try furthermore to draw lessons from it. For the working class and for socialism, this annihilation of a decayed world is not a disaster, but a deliverance. The way is clear for the two causes which comprise the aspirations of the people, peace of Europe and social justice."
I think it's so important for the American people to know that the relationship between the CIA and the Nazis has always been a very close one. Initially it was the OSS, and so many of the Nazis were allowed, actually helped to escape to South America by the OSS and the CIA. That's covered in a book called The Secret Agenda by Linda Hunt. Try to get a copy of it. $150, $125 to get a copy of that book. Why? Because it's being actively suppressed. The last thing they can let the American people know is the close relationship between the Nazis and, of course, the Central Intelligence Agency. The book, which we do carry and have available, it goes into the background of the Nazis here. The name escapes me for a moment, but it'll come to me as the sooner I get through this. Operation Bluebird is the title of it. Operation Bluebird goes extensively into how the CIA worked hand in glove with the Nazis. And did you ever wonder why we never got Adolf Eichmann in South America or Dr. Mengele, or why so many of the people escaped there and were never captured? Jews got a couple of them, but most of them lived happily ever after. Why? Because they had good friends in Washington, D.C., because it's all a part of this New World Order. And you can look on the back of your dollar bill, and you'll notice the triangle, and beneath the triangle, the pyramid, and beneath the pyramid, the words Nouveau Ordre Seclorum, that's the new social order, or the new secular order. That's what it's about. And America's always been the major force behind this. Well, what message would you like to leave with the American public today? Because we have listeners all across this country. What message can you leave with them? And is there any hope for England? Is there any hope for America?
Well, I think there's always hope. The battle is extremely hard, and all the power and all the money is on the other side.
Yes, it is.
But I don't think that you can extinguish the idea of freedom. I would ask American people to return to the basic concepts of the founding fathers of the Constitution, which were drawn very substantially from the law of England.
They certainly were.
And to stay true to that and to resist these attempts to subject the American people to supranational authorities of all sorts.
Right. Well, we've got the gentleman calling. Charlie, did you have a quick question? We're almost out of time.
Sure. Sure. You talk about not picking up the, or not finding some of the Nazi leaders and some of the Jewish traitors.
Yeah, we're out of time, but thanks so much. Talk to me after the program, but there's the music. We can't control it. Bye-bye, Charlie. And I think I want to thank you so very much for being our guest today, Mr. Spalton, and at some time I hope we can get you back on again. It's been a great program.
It's been a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
God bless you, and bye-bye. Okay, well, I hope you out there across America are enjoying the programs we've been putting on. What a unique opportunity to get a first-hand view of what's happening. And, of course, remember, what you're seeing in Great Britain is simply a prologue to what's going to be happening here in the United States. So remember, behind all of this is that eternal spiritual battle between good and evil. And right now, evil appears to be on the throne. But it's up to us, of course, to do what's right and to oppose it, if we love our Lord.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, to understand the background of this epidemic, to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and what a privilege it is to have people like Mr. Spalton and the other people we've had talking about the European Union, and I think we're probably going to have enough guests that we can put together a four-tape set so you can begin to understand that this is exactly what's planned for America, the loss of all of our freedom, the loss of habeas corpus. It's already wiped out in the Patriot Act. And, of course, everybody's talking about all the wrong things and the wrong criticism. This has nothing to do with Islamic terrorism. Have you read the Patriot Act? You can get it up on the Internet. Or we have the whole 150 pages, not one word about Islamic terrorism. Half of it has to do with money, has to do with a control of the money, because that's after what it's all about. You control the money, you control the population, and of course it takes away the right of habeas corpus. It gives the government to come in, the right to come into your home without warrants. It gives them the right to check on all of your personal detail without a warrant. Why don't they want to get a warrant? Because no Gestapo ever wanted to be answerable to anybody else. There are people who really want a dictatorship in America. And if you have any questions about what this is about, you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And you can get it by itself or as part of the Brotherhood of Darkness special with the book and the video and the audio tape for $29.95 plus shipping. And, of course, here in California, we have to have a little something for the governor. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you don't have a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light, and here in California you can only get the Berkey Light with post fillers, you better get one because it looks very much like they're going to forcibly fluoridate all of our water. And, of course, once they do that, why, your brain, your mind, your body are really under attack. Would they do something poisonous for us? Sure. If anyone wants to see the letter that the head of the scientists of the EPA sent to Jeff Green, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. They don't want fluoridation. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to our program, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. And incidentally, we just opened, we're doing a program now in Detroit. Admittedly, it's at midnight, but at least they're there from midnight to 1, and hopefully we'll be on from 11 to 1 in Detroit, Michigan, but little bit by little bit we're covering more and more of the country, bringing the information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. Trying to get people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. The ultimate goal is a new world monetary system, a new world economic system, a new world order, and a new world religion, and of course this will be headed by brutal, tyrannical forces, because this whole thing is the same spiritual forces that energized Adolf Hitler, that energized the Japanese during the same war, that energized the people in our government who prolonged that war intentionally and wouldn't even let the Japanese surrender. And if you doubt that that is true, we have the article I got from the Chicago Tribune personally pointing out that the Japanese had been trying for 6 months to surrender and we wouldn't let them. And the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the invasion of Iwo Jima and of Okinawa, totally unnecessary. But you see, the evil ones wanted to kill as many as they could. They killed 60 million people in the Gulag in the Soviet Union. When was the last time you heard that mentioned? How could you suppress that information? Why, the evil people control the media. Operation Keel Haul was immediately after the Second World War, when we sent 6 million Russian citizens who were in the United States and England and Europe, and we forcibly sent them back to Russia to be killed. How could, that's known as Operation Keel Haul. How could you suppress something like that in America? Why, you control the media. We talk about the 6 million Jews who died in the Holocaust. What about the 12 million others who died in the concentration camps? You'll read about that in Norman Cohn's wonderful book, Warrant for Genocide. That's Warrant for Genocide by Professor Norman Cohn, a Jewish scholar. You'll never hear that talked about, on our controlled media. And what about the 60 to 80 million who died in the Chinese prison camps under Chairman Mao, this wonderful social experiment that we actually brought about here in China as we brought the Chinese communists to power? And if you don't think we brought them to power, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We quote from the government records, and if you want to see the government records, we'll send you the copies. That's called the McCarran Committee Report. Understand, we wouldn't allow the nationalist Chinese to have any weapons, and even when Congress appropriated the money for them, the State Department refused to send them because they wanted China to come to power, the communists to come to power. Why? Because we didn't want any competition, because America was to reign supreme and then bring the whole world into the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Monetary System. And this is where we're headed. And remember, this behind this are the dark demonic forces that dominate the earth today. What can you do? Well, you can get people to listen to our programs. You tell them about our website at radioliberty.com. Encourage them to join the Radio Liberty family. Encourage them to get others to understand the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And then, of course, pray for America. And pray for our leaders. Pray for the average American to understand what indeed is going on today. The great tragedy is the average American believes we have a two-party system. No, we have a one-party system with two branches, one of the Republicans and the other of the Democrats. But they're both heading exactly the same direction. Oh, of course, they have to pretend to be different. One's pro-choice, one's pro-life, one's pro-homosexuals, the other's pro-family values, and it's all a charade. I mean, all you need to do is look at some of the appointees that they're putting into the federal courts today, the Bush administration, pro-choice federal judges. Well, I thought the Republicans were going to solve our problems. 7 of the current Supreme Court justices were appointed by Republicans. Some of the worst Supreme Court justices we have were appointed by Republicans. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. Please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.